Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, an author spotlight. I am Becky, and I am super excited to be joined for this episode by author Carla Luna. Welcome to the podcast, Carla.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've done, you did Readathon, I think 2 years.
Yes, one year.
And then we did Happy Hour with you for your books. But I think this is the first time you're like traditional podcasting it.
Wow. Okay, cool.
So I'm excited to have you here. We are going to chat about your latest release. So this episode is dropping on your release date.
Yay.
And we are chatting about Santa Maybe. This is book one in the, is it called the Drake Hotel?
The Duchess Hotel.
Duchess Hotel. Okay. Pull it together, Becky. I'm going to read your bio and then we'll talk a little bit about you as an author just to refresh everybody who you are. Carla Luna writes contemporary romance with a dollop of humor and a pinch of spice. A former archaeologist, she still dreams of traveling to far-off places and channels that wanderlust into the setting of her stories. When she's not writing, she works in a spice emporium where she gets paid to discuss food and share her favorite recipes. Her passions include Broadway musicals, baking, whimsical office supplies, and pop culture podcasts. Though she has roots in Los Angeles and Victoria, BC, she currently resides in Wisconsin with her family and her feisty Siberian cat. You can find Carla and all her socials on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. We'll have them all listed over there so you can find all the places to follow her. Again, Carla, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And I should quickly say that I should update my bio because I'm retired now.
Oh.
As much as I loved the spice store, I thought it was time to turn in my apron. I'll always be a spice girl at heart, but now I'm just retired and at home. And so I'm trying to write full time.
Okay. Well, and that's different, right? Because to now go and be writing full time after trying to do both, are you finding it easy to channel your focus on your writing, or are you easily distracted with all the things at home?
I'm pretty easily distracted. I'm not as focused as I should be. And we had a lot of family issues this summer. We had some stuff that was not great. So a lot of my energy was there, but I was glad that I was able to channel my energy into that. And then we did a lot of little trips, a lot of family traveling. So I didn't focus that much, but I did manage to get this book ready to go. So that was good.
That is good. You know what? I don't know what it was about 2024. We also had a really rough bit of a summer and family issues. And so I get it. And I think sometimes, you know, for me, the evolution of my job and what I do within publishing, people are like, oh my God, you know, you must love it. You love reading. And now you get to read and get paid for it. And I'm like, yeah, but then your job becomes your hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have any boundaries then.
And yeah, that is true. Because my husband will be like, it's Friday, woohoo. And I'll think, you know, I should really be writing. Like, yeah. I never really feel like I don't take days off when everybody else does. So I kind of, you know, set a calendar for the week. And if I can get stuff done, then I can do something fun, like go to Aldi or, you know, go out for drinks with a friend. And I volunteer with our library. I'm on the board and I do a lot of stuff with them. So that's kind of a nice other thing that's reading focused, but it's not the same pressure as writing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so in your bio, you mentioned that you are passionate about Broadway musicals.
Yes.
And I mean, it's everywhere right now. Are you planning to see the Wicked movie?
Oh, of course. Yes. That was, I think, the first big one that I took my daughter to. We went to Chicago for like a girls' trip and we went and saw it and it was incredible.
I took my daughter to see it also and obsessed. Mm-hmm. So I'm a bit of a passenger princess. I like my husband to drive me around pretty much everywhere. And so Saturday morning, my daughter got out of bed early. Like, she's 19, college student. She does not touch the floor on a weekend before noon, right? But she actually got up at 9 o'clock and she's like, we're going to Starbucks today, right? And I was like, yeah, we're going, because we had to get some of the Wicked themed Starbucks tumblers.
I didn't know they had those.
Oh, yeah. I bought three and I have my eyes on two others.
Oh my gosh. Oh no, I didn't know about that.
They have one that's like Emerald City themed. They had one that's Elphaba themed with like a straw capper that's the broom. I got the Defying Gravity tumbler and it glows in the dark. Anyway, not that you need your water tumbler to glow in the dark. But I love Wicked. I love musicals. And if you think about, okay, so what is your favorite all-time musical? This is not about writing, but we are going to get to Santa maybe, but no, I have
it's
a way.
Okay. Actually, it's really, my taste changed. Like there are ones that I love and go in and out of. My daughter was in Oliver one year with community theater. I used to drive her to rehearsals and I have it memorized. And so I love that show because of that. And I always have loved the Artful Dodger because I love that kind, sort of a morally gray character.
Yeah.
So I like that. I loved Hamilton. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
What other ones? There's one called Next to Normal. I really love that is, you know, was not as well known. I love that one. And my gateway musical was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
So I love that one.
I was in Annie Get Your Gun, which does not age well. Like, now, not so great. That was my gateway, but the one musical that I will go to over and over again and sing all the songs is Anything Goes.
Oh wow, okay.
I love Anything Goes, but also I love musicals, period. Like, give me some Hair, give me Hello Dolly. Like, I saw that our high school is doing Hello Dolly, and I'm like, yes, I love that. I'm so excited. But
One thing I was gonna say, so my husband and I, our first one of our, when we first got together, it was because a group of us went to see Les Mis in LA when it first started touring. And there was like 11 of us, and I made it so that we would sit next to each other. And then after that, he asked me out. So that musical is very special.
Well, so one of the things I often think about is sometimes I feel like the best romance novels kind of play out like a musical in the story. Yeah. Like we get these big sweeping emotions, these grand gestures, the small, quiet solo moments.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, like I think of how many times have authors rewritten like their version of Taming of the Shrew, which is Kiss Me, Kate, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, I love those types of characters. I love those types of novels where she is big and loud and boisterous and he is, you know, like trying to say, no, you need to be in this box. And she's like, no, I don't. But I love those. I don't know. I could talk.
I also think with musicals, like it's amazing to me how you can convey so much in a song. Like you can convey such powerful emotions. You can tell a story. Yeah. It's so incredible to me, the storytelling that you have to be able to do to convince people that in a 2-hour musical, people will fall in love and you're rooting for them and you care about them. And that's really tough.
But I think it's really tough to be a novelist and write romance because in 200, 300 pages, this couple has to come together, overcome, connect, and you have to convince the reader, the audience, that they are in love and that their love is enduring and forever.
That's true. Yeah, it is tough.
It's not easy. Like, you know, we have all heard the criticisms of romance, but really, there's magic on the pages that you can take two strangers or two people that are friends. So like in Santa Maybe, our hero and our heroine are friends. They've been dancing around each other. And in this short, I think it's less than, your book is less than 300 pages. It's not long.
It's a short one. Yeah, it's like 230 pages.
So in 230 pages, you take these friends who have been dancing around each other and they find this moment. They have this shared journey. They decide to help each other out and this big connection. And these two are together forever. Like you
absolutely.
Put that last period on the book and you're like, yep, these people have an HEA.
Yes, that's the way I feel about all my couples. Like I can imagine their lives in the future.
Yeah. Well, and I'm an HEA girl. I'm not an HFN. I mean, I get them and I don't hate them, but I just need solid confirmation that no matter what's going to happen, these people are together. And you do that and you convey it in a way. So is that hard for you to put those kind of intense emotions into the book? Because this is only 230 pages. It is friends to lovers, coworkers, fake dating. And you pack quite a punch in there with everything, particularly with our heroine, Rosie.
Thank you.
I love her.
I just fall in love with my characters. And someone was asking me about like writing characters. I was in a workshop and I said, when I start with them, they're kind of like paper dolls. They're kind of blank. And then I keep layering in stuff. And the more I revise and work on it, the deeper I get into their characters and what they're like as people and trying to imagine them in different situations. And it's sort of gradual. Like I don't create character sheets in the beginning. I have a basic idea of like who they are, what they do, their backgrounds. But the more I work with them and play with them and sort of play God with them, the more I get to know them.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of fun.
So Rosie is, she's worked from basically the bottom of the ladder mm-hmm. and has worked up to the assistant general manager of the Duchess Hotel. And she is hardworking. This series takes place in Vancouver.
Victoria.
Oh, Victoria.
British Columbia, which is where I grew up.
Okay. I wrote Vancouver. So, you know, I just moved
That's
locations.
Okay. It's close. It's just, it's hard because Victoria is on Vancouver Island, but Vancouver is on the mainland. It's very confusing.
Listen, it's Canadian, so it's always questionable, right? Yes. I'm just kidding. I love Canada. Okay, so we're talking about Santa Maybe. It comes out today, November the 19th, 2024. It's a holiday romance, workplace romance, fake dating, friends to lovers. I'm moving forward because we got to spend some time on Rosie because I love her. And one of the things that I really like that you did here, so our hero's name is Drew, and he's a fitness guy, and he has his own swoony moments, but he's a golden retriever. Like, he is the goodest boy. He's such
yes,
a good boy.
Yes, absolutely.
And I really loved him, but what I really loved that you did, Rosie is hardworking. She is determined, but she's not like the typical, like typically we'll see the good guy like that with like a black cat, like standoffish, a little less than lots of walls. Rosie's not like that. She's a bit of a people pleaser.
Oh, absolutely. That is... people ask me, what is she like? I say she's a people pleaser. Her parents, her friends, her work, that is absolutely her. It's her good quality and her weakness.
Well, and she's an oldest child too, right? She's the oldest daughter.
Her brother's actually the oldest.
But she's an oldest daughter.
And then her sister.
But she's the oldest daughter.
She is, yes.
So she's the oldest daughter in a Latina family, Latin family. And pressures, like she takes on those oldest daughter pressures. Mm-hmm. And I really love how, you know, she wants to be the peacemaker. She wants to make sure everybody is just okay and not rock the boat. Mm-hmm. But you kind of secretly want to be like, come on, Rosie, just rock the boat. Like push it. Just make some noise, please.
Yep. Stand up for yourself. Come on. Don't let this boss railroad over you. But... you know, she has to kind of go on that journey of, you know, finding worth in herself and what she needs.
She also, her mother, which I loved her mother.
Me too.
She's constantly trying to set her up on dates. Mm-hmm. She just wants Rosie to be happy, to find someone to love and to love her. Mom doesn't have a lot of boundaries.
No, but that's not unusual.
I was dying at this mom. I'm like, okay. Yeah, Rosie is obviously a little older because like with my kids now, I would not even dream of like trying to play matchmaker with those two.
Oh gosh, me neither. There's no way. No,
they would
eat
me alive. Like,
yeah, no.
They'd be like piranha sharks. Like, I would be chum. So what was your inspiration for Rosie? Like, And she has an amazing group of friends.
I love writing. My sort of brand is destination romance, and I love writing about going places and traveling. So the first series I wrote was destination weddings, and then I did the archaeology ones. And then for the third series, I was trying to think of like how to tie everybody together. And I love the idea of found family. And I thought of like a hotel, and I was like, yeah, a hotel would be really fun. And I could set it in a place that I love that's very touristy. Victoria is very, very touristy. And I wanted it to be this group of women who are all trying really hard to succeed, and they have different challenges and stuff. And I kind of wanted her to be like, kind of a little mother hen-ish and a little bit like looking out for them, but also vulnerable too, because she's trying to figure out like her life and find love like anybody else. So I just I like the idea of a found family of 20 somethings.
Yeah. Well, and because of Rosie's mom trying to set her up, she's dreading the coming holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so she convinces Drew to attend a couple of family events with her. They're going to fake date.
Yes.
And in return, he will play Santa at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And she will be his plus one at his ex's wedding.
That's right. Yes.
Which is such a great setup because, yeah, it's just fake. It doesn't mean anything.
Of course.
Except these two have so much pining. Like,
oh my gosh,
we are in a pine tree forest. Yes. With these two.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so is that Fundrite? Because I think it is the second book. Is it Tour Wars, where they had some mutual pining between the two of them?
Troy's story had a lot. So that was the one in Turkey. That was Friends to Lovers. I find with Friends to Lovers, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And in that one, they both had a lot of pining. Tour Wars, they start out as rivals. So there was some, but not as much. So I do love that. I love it when you've got two people who are really right for each other, but they've built up all these reasons why it shouldn't work or why they shouldn't be in a relationship, but they just want the other person so bad.
They do. So Friends to Lovers, I think, is one of the hardest tropes to actually write well. I think people think it's easy, but you have to prove that there was something,
mm-hmm,
why they weren't together. You know, yes, that missed opportunity, not the right time, not the right place. Do you find Friends to Lovers to be easy to write, or is it difficult for you to write?
I think it's tricky. I think, well, honestly, I think a lot of tropes are hard. I love Second Chance and Friends to Lovers, and they're both tricky because I think with Friends to Lovers, the big question is, well, why aren't they together? What was stopping them? And in a lot of cases, and I hate to fall back on the evil ex trope, there's often an ex involved, someone that they were involved with that was one of them, maybe like one of the people was involved with someone that was kind of with the person that was taking them away and making it impossible for them to be with this person that they always really wanted. I think in this one, it was tricky because, yeah, like I think when Rosie's talking to her friend Charlie, Charlie's like, you guys are perfect for each other. I don't get it. And Rosie's just like, no, I'm so busy. I have, my job is so important. And Drew's got, you know, family issues, and he was really burned by his ex. So they've got like this baggage, and they just have to get over themselves.
These two do need to get over themselves, yeah. And they do, because we do get an HA. That is not a spoiler.
No, that's not.
What is it about writing a Christmas? Because this is your second Christmas romance?
Yes, my second Christmas book.
So what is it about writing Christmas? Are you a huge Christmas?
Yeah, I love Christmas. It's my favorite. I love it because I love the whole season. Like, not just the day, but like, I love baking. I like decorating. I still send Christmas cards to people. I enjoy like getting the house all festive, and I just like the vibe. So I love Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Not so much Hallmark, but like sometimes the little edgier ones that are like the Netflix ones are pretty good. But I love that. I watch like the same ones. I always watch The Holiday every year. I always watch Love Actually. I watch stuff like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I am a big Christmas person. So for me to write a Christmas book is really fun. Also, I kind of have this, like, I kind of get the appeal of a hot Santa, which is part of this book. because during COVID, I had this weird dream where this woman meets a guy in the bar and they hook up, and it's a one-night stand, and it turns out he's the son of Santa. And I give it away for free in my newsletter. It's just a fun story. But I started creating this whole world in my head, like the Santa Claus, but make it really sexy kind of thing. And I've always been like fascinated by the appeal of like a hot Santa. So I was like, I really want to write a Christmas story, not with Santa, because that's complicated, but with a hot guy who dresses like Santa.
Remind me to tell you when we're done with our interview about some hot Santa romances you should
Oh,
check out.
please do.
So have you decorated for Christmas already? Because this is November 19th. So are you a wait till Thanksgiving decorator, or are you already
Yeah,
starting?
my rule is that usually like right after the day before Thanksgiving when I'm baking, I'm allowed to play Christmas music. These are just self-imposed rules. And then right usually around after Thanksgiving we usually start decorating. We usually get our tree because we get a real tree
Okay.
the first weekend in December.
Okay.
And then it stays up through New Year's.
My girl child, now my boy child has no interest in decorating. Never has, really. But my girl child, she will only help me decorate for the holidays, starting the week of Thanksgiving. Like,
Okay.
she will not let me, if I put anything up sooner than that, I'm on my own. And I'm like, that's kind of mean. That's kind of mean, right? You should
Yeah.
want to decorate with your mother. So one of the things that I loved about this book, also about Rosie, because I have to go back to Rosie, I really am a little obsessed with her. I don't know. I really connected with her. I'm an oldest daughter. I have two older brothers, but I'm the oldest daughter. I'm the one, my dad passed away a couple years, 14 years ago. I'm the one who takes care of my mother.
Yeah, I'm
I'm,
sorry.
you know, I. It's okay. It's a long time, but for my but now I have to take that's what you should be sorry for. I have to care for my mother. Cuz she's a wild card, is all
Oh,
I'm
boy.
saying. She's a little feisty. But it's, you know, that pressure of family. And I think with Rosie, I just really connected with her wanting to make sure that everybody's just okay. Like, everything is just
Yeah.
good. And but she loves action movies. And
That was a weird little thing.
you do this with all your characters. You give them something really small and unique, and it just sticks with you, right? Like,
Yeah, I was just sort of thinking because I thought, well, something that you'd think, oh, she likes rom-coms or something. And I thought, no, because she and Drew would have this bond when they're first working out together. Like, he'd be like, see any good movies? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw Fast 8 or something. And the idea that they would be like, oh, we can talk about this together and have that in common. And just the fact that she, and like I said, she likes even the bad ones that come directly to streaming. Like, there's always those terrible, terrible action movies that don't even make it to the theater.
yeah, Apple TV has a whole plethora of them. Well, so early last year, my husband and I started having these Saturday dates. We'd buy a Lego kit that we wanted to put together, and we would watch funny movies or bad action movies on streaming while we put together the Lego kit together.
Oh, I love
And
that.
it was just fun because he loves Legos and stuff like that, and we got to watch some really bad movies. So I can tell you what streaming services have all the bad movies.
That's funny.
Okay, so s what is one thing? Santa Maybe will be coming out today, November the 19th. It'll be available everywhere.
Yes.
What is one thing you want people to take away when they read Santa Maybe?
That's tough. I guess I just want them to to enjoy this sort of fun escape. Like, it's a Christmas read, it's quick. It's kind of like a nice palate cleanser, like if you just want to think about Christmas and Santa and holidays, but it's got a little depth to it because you've got two characters with baggage. But all my books, I try to combine a little bit of depth and you have the emotion with the idea that you're going to read it maybe on a plane or curled up by the fire or, you just, it's just a nice way to take a little break.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, too, the other thing I thought was, it's shorter than most of my other books, but I also thought at Christmas, sometimes I tend to read a lot of novellas and shorter books because I'm busy. And sometimes it's nice to have a shorter book. You can pick it up, read it in a couple nights, and feel like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah. Just that moment of escapism for just a couple hours. So what is next for Carla Luna? Also, you do not stay home. You were like at a brewery signing this weekend, which I was super jealous of. Like, you go to all these cool places.
Yeah, and I'm doing a bunch. I'm doing a bunch, some bookstore events in December, which will be great.
So fun.
In the Wisconsin, Illinois area.
Okay.
Doing a couple craft fairs. So trying to get out there with my book. So I don't know if you can tell. Okay, so who do you think, well, you probably read the end of the book, so you probably know who's the next couple. But so the next couple is going to be Charlie, who is the front office, the very bubbly front office manager.
Yes.
And Knox, who is the grumpy bartender with, you know, I've got to figure out his backstory because he's got major issues and stuff going on. But so it's going to be theirs. It's going to be fall/Halloween.
Okay.
And one thing I'd love to bring into it, and I haven't figured out how, is that Victoria is known for supernatural stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There was this great wild book called Michelle Remembers that came out in the 90s. And if you Google it, you'll be like, whoa, about satanic cults and all kinds of stuff that happened. Yeah. And it was all debunked. But Victoria has a history of like witchcraft and supernatural, has this cool cemetery. Like, there's a lot of that. And I don't want to write a paranormal, but just the fact that Victoria is like that, I think Preston, our boss, is going to be like, well, I want us to lean hard into being spooky and Halloween-y. And so
they
my plan is
to do like a Supernatural, the TV show. My girl child is obsessed with that show. Like, she watches it nonstop. She streams it constantly. You should do like a supernatural convention at the hotel.
That would be fun. Yeah.
I haven't figured it out,
but
crazy.
I know it's going to be, that would be really cool. Some kind of convention. Yeah. Something fall, Halloween theme. My goal is to have it out in August because I'm doing Romance Con in September. And so I'd like to have it ready for then. So that's my next book. And then in the meantime, I'm in an anthology for another event called Writers on the River, and we have to write a short story, and they want it to be spooky. And I was like, well, I don't know. I don't want to mess with my hotel series. So I might try to write a spooky archaeology story to like keep in, like to do something with my Romance in the Ruins series, but I haven't figured it out yet. And I got to
maybe
get
a mummy themed romance.
I was thinking mummy, something with the graveyard or a curse or something. Yeah. There's got to be something good. So that's kind of my now that release day is here, my goal is to focus kind of on figuring out the story because it's due, I think it's due at the end of January.
Okay. Okay. So you got deadlines looming.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, everybody, make sure you pick up Santa Maybe. It is a delightful Christmas read. It'll be available on all retailers. Carla, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Oh, you're welcome. It was very fun.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.